What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Your second favorite team will be in Inglewood next year.
Who?
He said who.
They should just, you know, as they go down to Inglewood, keep going. Hit that 405. Take it back to San Diego.
Keep going
take
south.
Take the Chargers with you. Chargers with you.
Man, we back. Unplugged, our weekly look around to see what's happening. Jack, what's going on out there in Atlanta, baby?
Man, cool and nice weather. Ready to get out to the West Coast this weekend. How you doing? I ain't going to ask you how you doing. I'm just glad that you found a possum after you moved out. Let me say that.
Crazy, bro. I was moving out the old crib, and a possum snuck in, and that motherfucker was ready for war. Had me on the counter with golf clubs, cussing it out. Throwing
you know they can
it.
Climb, right?
They can climb and jump, and that motherfucker was hissing, had big claws. It was all bad, but luckily, we both lived to see another day. Well, Jack, we want to welcome definitely a friend to the program and our brother, but someone you're really close to, so I'm going to let you do the honors.
One and only, legend, pioneer in many ways, somebody who I consider a big brother who definitely then put me in a position with something great, the Big Three, one of the biggest leagues in the world. So welcome to our show again, a friend and family member of the show. The Honorable Ice Cube.
Yeah, yay.
Whoa, whoa.
What's happening, man? How y'all
feeling? Yay.
You made headlines last week. Some information had leaked, and you wanted to get ahead of it. You announced that you guys had worked out a possibility to offer Caitlin Clark a big deal with the Big Three. Can you give us the details on that and how'd that come about?
We made an offer a couple of weeks ago, And, you know, we was hoping to hear something back, and we haven't heard nothing back yet. But we heard something back. We heard, you know, it's tournament time. But it leaked. And so we didn't want to deny it best thing to do is just, you know, let people know what was going on. And it's just something we believe, you know, it's a great opportunity. And, you know, we believe that, you know, being a guard, she can playing the big three. You know, we've looked at our guards over the years and the size of our guards and said, you know, that's a position that if you know, if a female was to play in the big three, that would be a position that they would probably do best at. You know, it's too rough in the paint. you know, I know some bigger girls out there, but, you know, just not trying to deal with Reggie Evans in the paint would be just nothing nice. So, you know, we just felt like we have a great opportunity and we wanted to extend the opportunity. And we believe, you know, of course, if she joined our league, it would lift the league to new heights.
I agree. Me being one of the pioneers of the league, been involved in the league since year one, I loved it when I heard about it. I think I know what she'll do for the league. I know she loves to play the game of basketball and is a competitor. And when you get a chance to make some money like that, you know, in a short period of time playing basketball, doing something you love, I think it's a smart decision because as you play the game, you also want to make things beneficial for yourself. And this is a win-win for both parties. And like I said, I would love to welcome her to the league because if she came on my team, I'll make sure I protect her because I know where her future is going. But just to have her a part of the big three would be something that that would be unbelievable and something that I would love to be a part of.
Yeah, you know, I think it's like I said, a great opportunity. The league is slightly different than when you play, you know, them first 2 or 3 years where
it was jail ball,
you know, hardcore. And so we've, you know, still rough in that paint, you know, but we, you know, we don't want a hacking league. So we,
right,
you know, we've made sure that the game flows, but it's also, you know, hand checking. It's also, you know, hard nosed defense being played too. I think people want to see the players compete. You know, when it feels like players are not even competing anymore, that's when, you know, I wouldn't even go watch my kids playing a rec league game if they didn't compete. So it's really about that. And we make sure we keep the competition fierce. But nobody wants prison balls. So we made sure that players flow and they go, but if you go in that paint, you know, beware.
I got a couple questions, Q. One, the financial side of it, the max salary in the WNBA right now is $250,000. They're saying if she's a top four pick, I think she'll make anywhere just on the salary side from $75,000 to upwards of $100,000. Was $5 million, is that urban legend or was that actually the offer and was it for 1 year? Like how did the financial side of this offer come apart, come together and break down?
Well, you know, we don't really want to go all the way into the deal and everything we've offered. You know, if she agrees, it'll all come out. It's with us, it's kind of like a NIL situation. You know, our sponsors are clamoring. They would love for her to join the league. And if she joined the league, you know, they would support the league even more. So, you know, it's a thing where we believe the money is there if she decides to join the league with no problem because, you know, they're sitting there waiting for her. And so, you know, it's just a great opportunity. Like I keep saying, you know, as the CEO of the big three, you know, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't look at this and try to make it happen because everybody's going to benefit, the whole league. You know, we're an inch away from profit. And once we get in profit, then, you know, people will really, really look at this league in a whole different light because guys will be making a lot more money. So, you know, this is our approach and our push towards that.
I wanted to ask you because, one, you played in it, now you coach, and then Cube, this is your league. Do you guys really feel like, I mean, obviously I feel like the game is headed this way, the girls' game. I feel like the women's game overall, whether it be college or WNBA, is as big as it's been, as big as it's ever been. And there's always that talk, can women play with men? Obviously, I feel not from a skill standpoint, because I feel like a lot of these women are just as skilled as men. I think what set men apart is the athleticism and the strength. So my question to both of you guys is, do you feel like she can compete on a strength level with men, regardless of their finish in the NBA or played overseas or whatever it may be? Because I feel like that's where the difference between men and women are. It's not the skill set. The women are just as skilled. I feel like the strength and athleticism is what sets men apart. So do you feel like a Caitlin Clark can come in there? Because, you know, boys, like you said, you cleaned it up, but boys in the Big Three are hungry, still hungry, trying to eat. You know what I mean? So do you feel like from a competitive standpoint that Caitlin Clark can compete in the Big Three?
I just feel like for the most part, I think she'll be all right. I mean, it's going to be a lot of situational basketball and who she's paired with, especially in the Big Three. I don't care if it's a female or a male. The four or five players you put together in the Big Three matters, right? Because you got to have a little bit of everything to be successful. I think what she brings to the game will be a key asset to any team in the Big Three, because she can shoot. And the spacing, you have so much spacing going for rebounds. People get lost and wide open. So many wide open shots are given in the Big Three. That's right up her alley. And pick and roll game. I think, you know, if you partner her with two good guys like teams I put together, other teams, like if you partner her with a Lisa Leslie type team, they have pieces that can make up for her not being as strong as another guy. But her basketball IQ, she might probably won't be Joe Johnson in the Big Three, Matt, but she'll definitely compete and do some damage out there, and you'll definitely notice her.
So, Cube, your thoughts?
So, I mean, my opinion is, you know, who am I to say? It's not up to me. You know, I'm not a basketball player at that level. And, you know, I'm just glad I could provide the opportunity so we can see. But when I look over the years and over, you know, basketball courts all across the world, men and women are playing together. Maybe not at the pro level, but they're playing together in different walks of life. So I believe, you know, she could play with the men, but like I said, who am I to say? You know, we have the opportunity. You know, I feel blessed to have this opportunity, and let's see.
Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, you know, keep our fingers crossed for that opportunity. I'm sure once the tournament ends, you'll get a little bit more information. But you don't have to give us names, but was she the only female player that came to mind? Were there other ones out there? Was she just kind of the first one you want to start with and see where that goes?
Now, we've thought of a lot of different ones over the years. You know, this is kind of, to me, the perfect opportunity. I believe her name was Maya Moore. We was thinking about when we was trying to get her to come out of retirement a few years back. And so, you know, this isn't our first time taking a look, but this is the first player we thought that could come in and elevate the league and take the league to another level when it comes to the attention of the basketball audience. So, you know, that's why it's a unique situation. And that's why it was an offer that we knew would get her attention.
I don't know how far away we are from it, but I feel like it's coming at some point. Women, there's going to be a crossover at some point on the professional level. And, you know, obviously for years they've talked about the disparity in pay and WNBA players, and they have to go get second jobs sometimes overseas. And we saw what happened with Brittany Griner and all that shit. So this is an opportunity, a financial opportunity to obviously, you know, kind of solidify yourself and jump. So Cube, in your opinion, obviously because the two leagues kind of coincide, your league and the WNBA, I think the WNBA starts a little bit before you guys, but you guys kind of run simultaneously. So ideally in your mind, how would you see that work? And let's go hypothetically, she says yes. So the WNBA starts a month before yours, you guys start a little bit later. How do you feel like that would work out? Would she, in your opinion, because I'm not sure if you guys have clauses. I know in the NBA you can't play obviously other sports. So obviously it would have to be like a deal between you guys and the WNBA of being able to play both. Or how did you kind of see that side of the business of it working out?
If you look at our schedule and look at the WNBA schedule, you know, if she went to Indiana, there's only one game that overlaps. You know, we only play once a week. So of course, we would move our big three game so she'd be able to play in both. So we think we can work around the WNBA schedule, and she'll be just fine.
Dope. Before we get off of this subject, your partnership with X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, can you explain that and what fans should expect of this upcoming season?
You know, broadcasting games in a new, fun, exciting way. You know, a little different. We could be a little more colorful on X than we can on CBS. Mm-hmm. So, you know, our games are played on CBS, but it's usually two or three games. And then we usually have two or three games left, and those games will be on X. And okay. It's a great partnership, and we're going to redefine how sports is broadcast and have a lot of fun with it and be able to be very creative. And so it's a new day in sports.
Dope. Any communication with Elon Musk about it, or is it both your guys' teams kind of figuring it out?
I never met him, so it's the teams figuring it out. And
gotcha.
You know, we'll get there. no matter what, you know, I'm on it.
Sure.
I'm on it.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdrawals about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Transitioning into music right now, Kendrick and Drake, a little bit of back and forth. Kendrick took a shot at Drake on Like That, featuring Metro's album. Cube Legendary has been nearly 30 years since the No Vaseline disc came. Have you heard Kendrick's voice? It's two-part. Have you heard Kendrick's verse? And is a little bit of competitive with all the bullshit that's going on in the streets. If we keep it on wax, your thoughts on just kind of the back and forth on just kind of raising the level of music right now?
I mean, you know, battle was always fun. Could y'all lead a big three out of it, though? You know what I'm saying? You know,
big threes and everything.
I don't want to take, take no strays, you know what I mean? But it, you know, it's cool to see. You know, everybody got to watch they dome because, you know, Drake ain't no punk when it comes to, right. to you know, putting great music together and putting a diss record together. Kendrick ain't no punk when it comes to the lyrics and putting a great record together. So, you know, it's going to be fun as a fan to watch. But, you know, if y'all really want to see something dope, check out that Man Down album that's coming out from your homeboy Ice Cube. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Look for that. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
That's what you look for.
When can they expect that?
Oh, we're gonna drop it this June. You'll start hearing songs. You know, y'all get it first.
Yes, sir. You know I need it.
For sure.
Without a doubt.
Question. I mean, obviously one of the most legendary diss tracks in the history of the game. What goes into and what's your mindset like when you're going and writing one of these battle raps?
Go for the juggler. Go for the juggler, you know, and don't cross the line. You know, but just go for the juggler, but don't cross the line. You know, with No Vaseline, they was pretty, you know, the reason I came that hard, because they was right. coming at me, you know what I mean, with a lot of foul language, what they was going to do to me and all this kind of stuff. So, you know what I mean? I had to let them have it. But
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I think you can't hold back. It's like a fight. It's like a fight. Right. You know, you ain't going to pull no punches in a fight. You got to throw them.
Yeah, facts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, talking about basketball, the transition to LA sports, you think the Lakers got a shot in hell to make a deep run?
He said a shot in hell.
They always got a shot. You know, they always got a shot. You know, you got LeBron and AD and D'Angelo. He dope. But it's really, you know, I wish they would have got a big man. I wish they would have got somebody to deal with the Joker. I don't think AD is comfortable playing, you know, a guy that big, a center. I may be wrong, but it seemed like when we won the championship, there was a lot of help, you know, from Dwight and McGee. You know, so I just think we need those 7-footers to help, you know, help carry the load down low.
He played 70 games this season. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
shout out for real. 70 games and at 25-13. I mean, that's kind of been the knock is, you know, is he going to play? Is he going to show up? And I think AD is.
Oh, no, AD is great. You know, I'm not complaining about AD. I just think he's more comfortable at power forward. Right.
Like Tim Duncan was.
He can flow and go and do his thing and not have to bang and not have to worry about rebounds as much, even though he could snatch 20 of them if he want to. I just think, you know, when it's a 7-game series, you know, you guys know everything changes because now people can dial in and lock in on you. And it's a different game in the playoffs. So I just think we should have got a big.
Right now, transitioning with L.A. legend himself, Cube, let's talk a little bit of L.A. / Vegas sports. Your second favorite team will be in Inglewood next year. trying to capture some fans. Thoughts on the Clippers' move to Ingle? He said who? Thoughts on the Clippers' move to Inglewood? On a business standpoint, obviously gentrifying the area, bringing more business to the area. But the Clippers are now finally got their own place. I personally thought they should have changed their name, but just thoughts on them kind of getting up out of Staples Center, getting their own spot in Inglewood.
Clipper Darrells.
Man, they should just, as they go down to Inglewood, keep going. Hit that 4-5, take it back to San Diego, and take the Chargers.
Keep going south.
Chargers with you.
Take them both back to Diego. Huh?
Y'all messing Inglewood up, man. Inglewood used to be a nice place.
Inglewood used to be a nice place. Oh, shit.
Damn gentrification.
Oh, boy.
Fucking Inglewood up down there.
Take the motherfucking Chargers with you. It used to be a nice place.
Juju Watkins.
Oof, cold.
Yeah.
What you think about her?
Oh man, she got game. One of the coldest. She my kids' favorite. They love her. Mm-hmm. They love her. Yeah.
Best female athlete since who?
Oh man, I don't know. Can't say that, man. We got Lisa Leslie in the building, baby.
Right.
She win everything. So they got a lot of work to do. I put it on Lisa Leslie so they can take her down.
Yeah. She's a winner.
I think
Lisa's a winner.
Juju at
everywhere.
At a day and age where kids are, we're playing 17-year-old sophomores and 17-year-old freshmen. She's a true 18-year-old freshman. Broke all Cheryl Miller's scoring records. And the one thing about the women's side of the game is she has to play, I think, until she's 22. So I think she has to play all 4 years. So I think she might be the one girl that, down the line could change rules, maybe leave that possibly after her junior years, because she's set to be, with all due respect to Caitlin Clark, Juju can be the one that breaks all those records. Because I got a chance to see her in person about a month and a half ago, Cube, and she was cold, bro. Cold package, mid-range.
She could play in the big basket, three.
Yeah.
Plays defense. Yeah, to me, she's a stronger, more, sturdier a frame than a Caitlin Clark, but big fan of Juju and definitely what she's doing down the street at SC for sure.
Without a doubt, it's going to be fun to watch her the next 3 years. I think the NBA should start taking guys, after their senior year in college. It's like you don't always have to be one and done to be the greatest. You know what I'm saying? You can grab some seniors sometime that's mature and ready to play at this level.
Yeah. I think you bring up a great point, because the league, when Jack and I came in the league, there was vets 38, 39, 40, whether they played or not, they were instrumental to the team, whether it be bridging the gap, taking young fellas under their wing. Now the game is so young and everything is based off potential. And that's why you see a lot of these young kids wipe out. And then, for example, Jaime Jaquez, who went to UCLA, played 4 years. Spoelstra loves him. The fact that, for everything you just said, Cube, he came in ready to play. He didn't have to go through no learning curve. He was ready to hit the ground running because he had 4 years under his belt and had that experience. I don't know if it should be a four, but I definitely feel like it should be something, because I feel like we're losing too many young kids in the mix because they get to the league and it's just a cold wake-up call. Yeah, they're not ready.
Not ready.
And then, they're done.
The GMs, and the owners got to – they got to reward, players that's
experience.
They wasn't one and done. So what? They three and done or four and done, but right. They ready.
Yep. Your Raiders.
Yeah.
In Las Vegas.
Yeah.
I think they looking for a quarterback again. I'm not sure if they got one, but any hopes for them this year?
Yeah. Great new coach. Bringing in his staff, making big strides on the defensive side of the ball.
Shout out Mad Max.
Yeah, Mad Max. They just brought a boy over from Miami. That's a beast. That's what they should be doing, because they got to stop Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. And so they're making the right moves. I liked our young quarterback last year. Anyway, I think they should give him a chance to fight for the job. I don't know if they kept him or not, but I liked him.
But I want to shout out Antonio Pierce. I think, you know, he could start this movement. Also, shout out my brother Deshaun Foster over at UCLA, where they're starting to empower former players instead of dudes that, you know, just strictly coaches. These guys, and to me, I feel like with this newer generation, X's and O's will always be important, but I think it's about relating to the players. And you could tell Antonio Pierce has that locker room. He has that respect and he has that love, and that's what's going to make those guys play harder for him. So I definitely want to shout him out and his new opportunity being the officially the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we do in the Big Three. All of our coaches are former players. To me, you know, it's nothing more than somebody who's played the game, relating to other players and showing them how to win. To me, it's just the perfect match. So I'm happy they got AP. You know, hopefully they'll continue to elevate players into those coaching positions.
Empowering them, giving them real opportunities. Transitioning, the Bob Marley biopic, One Love, holding strong globally, $175 million in the box office. Obviously, what you did with Straight Outta Compton, I think, started a real move. Obviously, there was things before, but I think you captured that era like people hadn't been able to do now, and you're starting to see, to me, better biopics and better time pieces. So have you got a chance to see Bob's, and do you plan on it?
I haven't had a chance to see it. I do plan on it. I respect anybody putting together a biopic. It's not easy. You got to find the right actors. You really have to dig into that material and reveal things that the public don't know. You know, it seemed easy to do a biopic. Just put the scenes together that all the people
based
know.
Based on what everybody knows.
But people don't want that. People want to, you know, get behind the things that they know and kind of, you know, understand those conversations and really – you know, maybe get a new enlightenment on what the group was going through or coming from. So it's just not an easy thing. You know, Straight Outta Compton was without a doubt the hardest movie I ever made.
I seen One Love, Matt, and that shit was unbelievable. Whoever shot it was a great movie. I even watched it again a couple days after. Man, they really touched on how passionate Bob Marley was about his people. You know what I mean? I think that's not only did they touch his music, but they touched how much he cared about people and the person he was. And I think that's why they did a great job.
I love that. We definitely got to, because, you know, my fiance's dad, Danny Sims, was the first manager that brought Bob Marley to the United States. So we definitely got to catch up on that and see that movie. As far as movies goes, Cube, you got anything cooking or coming down the line that we could be expecting?
You know, we always working it out, you know what I mean, making it happen. You know, we can't tell y'all nothing about it, you know what I mean? I don't really like to brag about what we got coming because I just want to make sure it all come together and people, you know, be hitting you like, man, what happened to this and what happened to that? So,
But you got shit cooking, though.
Of course.
Keep your boy in mind. You know I'm ready.
No problem. Love to hear. No problem.
Final Four weekend coming up, men's and women's. This is a big – Jack, I don't know how you feel, but and I really haven't gone out of my way to jump on the bandwagon, but I just feel like I'm more excited. We talked about this off air. I'm more excited to watch – you know, it's Elite Eight right now, you know, starting today, but I'm more excited to watch this women's side of the bracket, to be honest with you, than I am about the men's. You know, you got Juju Watkins. I think she's going against Paige Becker, and then the rematch with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. Yep. Thoughts, both you guys, on just what the women's game, where the women's game is at right now, and these star-driven teams and their chances.
Well, where it's changed that, Matt, is like me and the fellas are getting together for the women's games now. It used to be the college games, college teams, but we more fans and we know more about the women's game. And even last Monday when we did Unplugged, I talked about it. We had all four. We had South Carolina, Caitlin Clark, Juju, and Paige all playing right after each other. I was excited last Monday to see all those games. So I love what the game is doing. I even, you know, my team is South Carolina, so I talk to Raven every game. Dawn Staley is my favorite female basketball player of all time. So I'm excited about the way the game's going, Matt. I'm excited about the games today. And it just shows that the talent of the girls and they're taking the game more serious. They're getting more passionate and they're showing in the game. And, you know, look, some of the stuff they're doing, the moves they're making them even more exciting than some of the guys' games. So I love where it's at right now, and I'm ready to be tuned in this evening as well.
Appreciate you, Q. We know you got to run, baby, so thank you for your time. Best of luck with the big vision you have of bringing these two worlds together. And, man, we'll be right there supporting you.
Salute. Much love, much respect, man. Thank you.
For sure.
Appreciate you, my boy.
Later.
Jack, I don't know if you got a chance to see. Obviously, there was a big article in the Washington Post about Coach Mulkey, the head coach of LSU. And then Ben Blatch, I think his name is, from the LA Times, wrote a slandered, one-sided smear campaign yesterday in the LA Times. What are your thoughts on, you know, obviously them, the timing of the piece, the fact that they're, you know, in the Elite Eight now and they're trying to distract her as a coach and the team as a unit. What do you think about this? Because you talk to, you know, Haley Van Leith, I think her name is, the girl from LSU, and she thinks it's negative comments are fueled from racism. You know, I definitely think there's a little bit of a racial undertone. There's a lot of, you know, black women that are empowered and talking their shit from LSU, which I think is fine because men do it all the time. But for some reason, when women do it, it's an issue. But just thoughts on that whole LSU situation. I mean, they knocked out UCLA. You know, obviously, I'm a former Bruin, but when I saw the article the next day in the LA Times, I'm just like, and I'm a big fan of what Coach Corey's been able to do with these UCLA ladies and what they represent. But this is some bullshit. Thoughts on just, you know, the approach and the way they're kind of attacking this LSU team.
Well, for the most part, we've been great ever since we stepped in this space on speaking on what we know, right? And I don't know too much about what's true or not, but what I do know is we've been on the side of people just jumping out there saying stuff about us and hating on us before we even started our show. Now they eating their words. So I understand how people try to shoot you down when you're on your way up before you even get to reaching your goal, right? And I think for the most part, these same people that's trying to put this dirt on her now were same people that tried to put dirt on her when she was at Baylor. You know what I'm saying? But she wasn't on this level to where she has outspoken female back players. Yeah, she wasn't on the level where she her first or second year there she won the championship. So she's on a different level right now. But I definitely agree with Haley. A lot of times when people speak on people like that and try to ruin them, it's built up hate and racism because whatever she has going on in her life, it has no effect in yours, right? And the timing you coming up with it. It shows that she's living rent free in your head, and you're just trying to kick somebody at the top or get attention on somebody. You know what I'm saying? Why they at the top? So I think it's all bullshit, Matt, because we have been in that situation before.
I just never really understood. You know, I'm gonna take Andrew Reese for example, which she's been able to accomplish, which she's able to do on and off the court, first and foremost, because I think people want, oh, you're an athlete, you don't. Man, fuck that. Do what you want to do as long as you keep the first thing first. And I think her and her teammates have been able to do that. But then you hear the UCLA players, you know, you hear people talk about the shit talking she does. What's the problem with that? Men have been doing that the whole time. And all of a sudden now when women are doing it, it's an issue. Would it be as big as an issue if it was a white girl talking that shit? I don't think so, Jack. So my whole thing is just like, why is it such an issue when women talk shit? I mean, Caitlin Clark talks shit, and she's America's sweetheart. I think that's great. And you hear UCLA players, some of them were quoted talking about how cool Angel Reese is off the court. Mm-hmm. You know, some motherfuckers are just dogs and assholes off the court, on the court. And I don't mean no disrespect, because we were both the same. We were dogs and assholes on the court, but cool as a fan off. On the court, but off the court, we're cool as a fan. So I just don't like this slander of just trying to make someone, you know, the bad guy. Yeah, she does antics, and yeah, she talks her shit, but her number's bad. I mean, this girl's the walking double-double, you know, 19 and 13, if I'm not mistaken. So talk all the shit you want. And to me, that kind of energy is the reason why everyone is starting to watch more, giving women the time of day,
exactly.
You know, to with all due respect, to be honest with you, because now you see the Juju's and you see a young girl over at South Carolina and what they've been able to do after losing five players to the WNBA, the big girl over at Stanford, you know, the games we have coming up, you know, Paige Becker off of injury, you know, her and Juju are going at it tonight. So I don't understand why you have to make someone a villain for enjoying the game, talking shit in the game, but also backing it up with numbers.
Yeah, you know, this is not this all due respect, not a diss to Draymond, but he does his job well, and his job is not to score. But Draymond can do all the talking and all that and have 0 points, 10 assists, 10 rebounds, why Reese can't do it when she putting up those same numbers and putting up points. So I hate how we look at it. And like you said,
double standard.
But the proof is in the pudding, Matt. That's why we're watching, because they have been passionate about the game and the talent is high.
Absolutely. The men's side, Will Burns and Edney. Well, these two big fellas, the big fella over Edie. At NC State. Edie, excuse me. I haven't got a chance to see I saw highlights of Burns the other day and what he was able to do to Duke. I missed that game, but I've seen Edie play a couple times. Stack, do you think both these big fellas translate into a more guard-oriented NBA?
Yeah, I think both of these guys are pros. Edie is a big man that I think if they fuck around and get him to San Antonio, we in trouble. We in trouble. And I know Pop is licking his chops, hoping trying to get him back down there, which he might not be available. But, you know, Pop know how to make things happen to get that old Timid Dave feel again. That'll be a good look. I like Burns. I can't lie. I like Burns. He's close to being a Zach Randolph. He just has to get in better shape. But his touch around the rim and then his moves around the rim is Z-Bo to a T. He is a big bully that can't be stopped. But he needs to if he gets in better shape, Matt, he'll be a top draft pick as well.
I love to hear that. Again, we haven't been able to, you know, been paying too much attention to the men's side, but there's obviously some talent over there. But it's just, you know, the women are kind of on front stage right now. Man, we just dropped a special episode of our brother Rajon Rondo, dropped yesterday. We, you know, welcome him to the family again. I'm really looking forward to getting a chance to working with, you know, his mind and the way he sees things and, you know, build a couple shows over here for him over here at the ATSP family. Mm-hmm. We drop Antoine Walker this Thursday. Kentucky Celtics in the house. That was a great sit down. Jack, shit, by the next time we're on the air, you're going to be a year older. So you heading out to L.A. soon, right?
Yeah, I'll be there Thursday night, man. Peaky Blinders theme party. Hey, it's going to be a movie. Mm-hmm. You called me burnt last night. I can't wait to see what you call me Saturday.
Well, I just want to show you what's out here waiting on you, brother.
Look at that.
Yeah, the crib's got killer views and square feet.
What is that?
Right? Waiting on what's you, baby.
You got a trampoline or something? That's another pool?
The pool is just it's infinity.
Okay, that's what we're doing. Okay,
yeah, but we waiting on you, baby. Happy early birthday!
You,
send
brother.
Me what you're wearing, so I know what kind of game I have to come with this Saturday.
Yes, sir.
And man, safe travels, bro. Love you.
Love you too.
You can catch us on the DraftKings Network and the All the Smokes Productions YouTube. Man, we'll see y'all next week.
Peace.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
if you dare.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.